Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. We're also heard on the Rapture Ready Radio Network, which is the network of our sister Jackie Alnor. And we have our website, propheticnews.com. We also have our YouTube channel. And we have our book, Can a Man Bribe God? How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings. And they do it every day. They do it every day. So how does that happen? You know, how does that happen in the world of, in our world anyway, where we have, every one of us can have a Bible and we can read it. And there's some good Bible teachers out there that can teach you what the truth is about giving and how God sees giving. It's not a way for God to reward you. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of what's in our heart. And it is a matter of love giving. It's not just a matter of paying God off or giving some money to a TV preacher and then expecting something in return, because that's not even Christian. Real Christianity is giving out of the heart and giving out of love. And that's what we want to hear people talk about. But we don't hear that many people talking about that so much, do we? We hear the give to get gospel. And anyway, we're going to start going back to our regular programming weekly, and at our same time, Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern time. So I did take a few Saturdays where I did play some reruns and took a little time off. So, but we'll be back to doing our broadcast and bringing on some great guests for you. But if you have any ideas, if you have any show ideas or anything, email me, susan@propheticnews.com. And I do read my email, so I would appreciate hearing from you. I always enjoy hearing from my listeners, and I listen to, I read everything. I read my comments on YouTube. I get some good comments. I get some wacky comments on there too. I leave the criticisms up there. And, but when people use bad language or they make sexual innuendos, I take those down. I don't leave those up. But it's okay. Sometimes you learn something from your critics. So you can't be a schism. You have to look at it. And sometimes the criticism is true. That might be a blind spot in your own life. So it's something that you have to take to heart and you have to listen to. But I wanted to talk a little bit today. This is going to be a short program today, but I wanted to talk a little bit about what's going on with the Supreme Court. And we have a nominee, and his name is Brett Kavanaugh. And mainly the whole of a crime of a sexual assault. I don't have an opinion on that because I have not seen evidence. I have not heard testimony. I think it's very important because if there's anybody out there that has ever been falsely accused of something, you know how that is. It's horrible. It's horrible to be falsely accused, especially when you don't have evidence to prove the accusation. You might have innuendo. You might have somebody, she said this and she said that. You can't always count on witness testimony. There's probably hundreds, maybe even thousands of people in prison because they were convicted of something through circumstantial evidence, or they were convicted of something through somebody's testimony. And sometimes people will testify against you for their own reasons. You never know. They might think they know something about you, which they don't actually know. They have no evidence of it. But it just might be something that they think or something that they heard from somebody else. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's true because they don't have all the facts. That's what a trial is all about. Or even a hearing, like they want to have this hearing at in front of the Senate. And when you go to court, always you have a prosecutor. And then you have a defense attorney. So they have something that they call discovery in courts, where a prosecutor has to turn over whatever evidence they have to the defense so that the defense can then prepare a defense against the accused. They'll have thing out in the open. They'll be able to take all the evidence and examine it and then put their case on. So in this instance, we get to have a hearing. Supposedly the accuser, it doesn't want to. They're putting up all these things that they want before the hearing, and one of them was that the accused, Brett Kavanaugh, goes first, gives his testimony, and then the accuser goes next. Well, that's not how it operates in a court. I don't know if he's guilty or innocent because I don't have the facts myself. So I can't make a judgment just because I'm going to say I believe her or I believe him. No, you have to have evidence to convict anybody of anything, because anybody could make up any kind of a crazy thing about you because it's some kind of a revenge thing. And you see this happen all the time in courts, especially in family courts, where someone's going through a custody battle, or they're going through a divorce, or they don't like their neighbor, or they don't like their sister, or they don't like their brother, or they don't like their cousin, whatever. So they take somebody to family court, and they decide that they're going to get some kind of order of protection, or they're going to do something through the family courts. They're going to make an accusation. They'll hear the case, and people use family courts, a lot of them do, for revenge. And it shouldn't be done. If anybody uses the court system at all as a revenge thing, that person should be prosecuted, because you have to drag somebody else to court, the accused. Sometimes the accused has to have an attorney, spend money on attorney's fees for something they didn't do just because somebody decides they're going to accuse them. So the person that brings the false charges against someone should either be arrested or they should be fined for doing that. Nobody should be allowed to use the court's time and the court's resources to falsely accuse someone. So in this instance, I don't know what happened because I haven't seen the evidence yet. I haven't heard the testimony. I haven't seen the evidence, so I don't know. I don't think we should accuse someone, even as a woman, and knowing about what happens to most of us when it comes to sexual harassment. It does happen. It happens a lot. But I would never want to falsely accuse someone or accuse someone of something if I didn't have evidence to back it up. And that's just the way it has to be, because you could ruin someone's life. You accuse someone of a sex crime, especially. That's repulsive to most of us. So that puts a blot on someone's reputation, whether it's true or not. I mean, this man, whether he did it or he didn't do it, already he's got that blot on him that when people look at him, they're not going to forget the accusation. It's there. It's there. So it's a hard thing to ever live down, whether he gets confirmed or not. But I'm not a big fan of Brett Kavanaugh. I'm going to tell you here, there, it doesn't mean just because he's a Roman Catholic, which if it was up to me, I would prefer to see a Bible-believing evangelical who's born again on the Supreme Court, because then we're going to know that we have somebody that's got the mind of Christ and somebody that really knows God and somebody that's going to stand up for the rights of others, including the rights of the unborn. This man, Brett Kavanaugh, is a Catholic. He's had some Jesuit training and some Jesuit schools, so I'm not for his nomination to the Supreme Court. And just because he might be for abortion or against, there's some things out there, and if you do some research on him, that you'll find that he can go both ways on that subject. So here's some other Catholics on the Supreme Court, and just because they're there and you want to believe that most Catholics don't believe in abortion, well, you have Samuel Alito, he's a Roman Catholic. You have Sonia Sotomayor, Roman Catholic. You had Anton Scalia. He was a Roman Catholic. So just because you have, does it mean that they're going to overthrow Roe? Not necessarily. I mean, they didn't do it yet. They're there. And then, so that's something to take into consideration when we're thinking about the Supreme Court and how do we get this very unjust law. Really, as Christians, and until the law is overturned, it's a terrible law to use abortion as a form of birth control and for people to do away with their children after the fact that they decide, well, I don't want this child, so I'll just do away with the child. It's inconvenient. It's a terrible thing. It's a real blot on our nation. But the main way that we as Christians can change those kinds of things and change the hearts of people is by preaching the gospel. We know that unless people are born again, they're not going to change. And so that's the kind of people we would want to be on our in our courts, or especially something as important as the Supreme Court, because it's a lifetime position. And they make very powerful decisions that affect us. But yet, you hear so many, some video started playing in the background, but what seems to be going on now and what we're looking at, and we're looking at really the future of justice, or the justice system in our country, where people make accusations all the time, and then they're accused, and then they lose their jobs even before they're found guilty or innocent. They have to step down from their high-paying positions. There's a blot on their character and on their integrity, and it's not right. It's just not right for people to do that to other people. But it's done all the time. And then we see this whole kind of dog and pony show going on with Republicans and Democrats, and and they're trying to block this guy because they think he's going to overturn Roe. Well, not necessarily. You know, it's not necessarily the case. And so I just find it very interesting that people can do to each other, especially in politics, and how nasty it can be and how dirty it can be. And it's a lot of that goes on in church politics too. A lot of that goes on in the church, because there's people that want positions, there's people that might want your position, there's people that want fame, there's people that want money. And so a lot of that goes on. Most people don't notice it, people that attend church and they're not really involved in what goes on in the inner workings of a church. A lot of those people don't really see it. People that are actually involved in ministry and people that are on staff at churches or whatever, they see a lot of those kind of things going on where there's so much politics. And it's not of God. That's one of the things I disliked so much about being in ministry and being in the inner workings of some ministry, is how people were jockeying for position and they wanted to be promoted and they wanted to be known for what they can do. So if you go through those kind of things, you have to really fight it. You have to really fight it and not do things just to be noticed or just to play church politics so that maybe the pastor promotes you or whatever, and you think you have a ministry and they're not recognizing your ministry. Well, if you have a ministry, don't wait for the pastor to recognize it. If God's already given you a ministry, go do it. You don't need the pastor to say, now you are ready, my son or my daughter. Some people really may not be ready, because once you put yourself out there in the public, you're out there. So you're out there, and maybe after, you might realize you don't really want to be out there. You'd really rather be at home and not having to put yourself out in the public and have to face whatever happens, especially when you speak out against things. You make enemies. You don't really want to make enemies, but you do make enemies, and hope that the reason why you say the things you do about scripture and about false teachers is that you hope that some of these false teachers will really get saved and stop doing what they're doing, and mainly that a lot of the people that are following these people will stop following them, because it's hurtful and it could really damage people for a long, long time. It can really damage people. So just remember, and we'll look at a couple scriptures on falsely accusing people. It'll be interesting to see how this whole thing turns out with the Supreme Court. A little bit of background on Brett Kavanaugh is that he worked with Ken Starr, and he also, one of his colleagues, which I think is interesting too, is Rod Rosenstein, the deputy attorney general. It's like, what's going on with that, right? But he was also involved in some of the legal issues. If some of you remember when Bill Clinton was president and his deputy counsel supposedly committed suicide, well, Brett Kavanaugh had something to do with the investigation there into what happened there. So he's got some ties to being in government with Bush, and so he's been around Washington. He knows Washington. He knows how it goes there, and so he's not a novice in that sense. That I don't have right now. I don't have an opinion one way or another. I just think that you can't really just say, oh, the person is a Catholic, so must be against abortion. That's not necessarily what happens. Not necessarily. So we have to remember that we have to pray that if there are any more Supreme Court justices picked, that they will be Bible-believing, born-again Christians. I would say that would be the best that we could hope for, you know, the best that we could hope for. So, but you can look up some of these people, do a search yourself and look up what they have as far as being Catholics. There was the majority, I would say probably the majority of the Supreme Court was made up of Catholics. They didn't overturn Roe. They didn't overturn Roe. So anyway, we have our job cut out for us. But let's look at a couple scriptures here about bearing a false witness against people and how dangerous it really is to someone. But if God is on your side, you will overcome all that. It's horrible to have to go through false accusations, especially when people don't know the whole story and there's been no evidence gathered. But 1 Peter 3:16 says, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Exodus 20:16, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Deuteronomy 19:18-19, and the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother, so shall that put the evil away from among you. So if somebody testifies falsely, what they did in the Old Testament is they shunned that person and they put that person away. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And I take that seriously, especially on this program. I don't like to accuse people without evidence. We always present their own audio. We always try to present their own words so that that doesn't happen, because God says we shouldn't do it. So if he says we shouldn't do it, then we shouldn't. Ephesians 4:25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one or another. 1 John 2:4, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers, idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Well, that happens, right? I mean, that happens when you might have family members that turn against you, and it feels like, or friends that turn against you, and it feels like that. They just want to devour with hatred and with revenge without a cause. Because you better have evidence if you're going to accuse someone of anything. In these last days, what we're going to see, because many of us will be accused of being hateful because we preach the gospel, it will be a hate crime to talk against homosexuality and to talk against transvestites, and you won't be able to say thing about certain people's religion because it'll be, you'll be branded a hateful person. Well, those things are going to happen. You know? They're going to happen. So we have to prepare ourselves for what's coming ahead for us. And maybe sometimes God lets us go through these things that we have to go through with being falsely accused of things to make us stronger for what lies ahead, especially if we're going to preach the gospel publicly. So what does the Bible say about revenge? Don't get revenge on people when they hurt you, because it says in Romans 12:19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Romans 12:17-21, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. 1 Peter 3:9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Look, we all were unsaved at one time. Whatever you did before you were a Christian, don't let anybody throw it up in your face. Whatever happened there, that's under the blood. That's washed away. As soon as you confess your sins are forgiven. So people like to do that. They like to bring up your past. But whatever happened before Christ, that's under the blood. You were a different person then. Now you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says all things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So we do things differently, and we don't always do it 100% right, that's for sure, because we're all still in the process. We work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Leviticus 19:18 says, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, that's sometimes that's not so easy to do, is it? Sometimes that's not so easy to do, but if you obey God, he will humiliate your enemies. Yeah, he will humiliate your enemies, and the truth always wins. So as long as you have the truth on your side, you're going to win. You don't have to try to stay up at night and figure out what you're going to do to somebody because they bore false witness against you or they accused you falsely. So stay on the Lord's side. 1 Peter 2:23, who when he was reviled not again when he suffered. He threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. So it's like when somebody makes an accusation against you and they do something to you, you want to come back and say, oh, yeah, you're going to do that to me. Well, I'm going to do that to you, too. Okay, unless they've committed a crime, if they've committed a crime, then that's a different story. But if they've committed no crime and you have no evidence that they've committed a crime, then you have no business reviling back again with, I'm going to do this to you and I'm going to do that to you. Yeah, well, you can't do things to the children of God. God will only allow people to do so much to you. But the body of Christ and the church has been persecuted throughout the centuries. They used to feed us to the lions. They used to put us on the rack during the Inquisition. They burned people at the stake, so none of us have gone through that yet. And when I get to heaven, I want to, maybe I won't even think about it, to know why. How did that happen? Because God does say he would deliver us from all evil. So why did those things happen? I don't know. Totally. You know, I don't know totally, because imagine being burned at a stake alive. It's horrible. Horrible. So Romans 12:18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. So that's a hard thing to do sometimes when you're going through sins and you're going through tribulation, especially when it pertains to your family members, or you're going through a divorce and you're trying to deal with your husband or your wife's adultery, and you're hurt and you're wounded and you want to fight back. And so there's so many different instances that people go through in their lives, and we just have to trust God to get us through those things. I do believe that we have to use the court system, especially when it comes to divorces and child custody and alimony and child support and all those things. Sometimes you do have to use the courts, and they are there for our good. Some judges are very good, honest, righteous judges, and then there's some judges that aren't. But I believe that God uses the court system, and so if it's necessary to use it, then we should use it. But you don't take your brother to court without a cause, and we don't do those kind of things as Christians. But then again, if it's an unbeliever and somebody they shouldn't do, then you should use the court system to try to get justice or try to get paid back or whatever, you know, has happened. So, but I just wanted to bring those things to your attention today. And so we have to pray for those that are in government. It's a crazy time that we're seeing. I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime with what goes on in Washington, D.C., but I watch it and I listen to it because I think there's such a parallel going on in the church also. It's just calling evil good and calling good evil, and the propaganda, the lying and the false accusations going back and forth, and it's really eye-opening in many ways, because some of us like to say, well, we're living in the end times, but yet, like, when the end times are upon us, it's a whole other thing. But anyway, we have to look up, because our redemption draws nigh, doesn't it? We look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And we pray that our family members and our friends and our acquaintances, that they would come to know the Lord and to have that born-again experience and to know Jesus as their Savior. So if you don't know Jesus today, ask Him to come into your life. Ask Him to be your Lord and Savior, because only He can save you. He died for your sins. He died to save you and to give you a brand new life, no matter what it is. If it's you have an addiction to drugs, or you're an alcoholic, or you're addicted to pornography, or whatever your sin is, God can cleanse you from that sin and give you a brand new life. He did it for me, and He can do it for anybody. He can do it for anybody if you ask, and you ask Jesus to forgive you. Because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, every single one of us. There isn't one person that's on earth that's a righteous person. Not one. There was only one righteous person that ever walked the earth, and that was Jesus Christ. So look unto Jesus today. And no matter what you're going through, saints said that He would give you peace in the midst of a storm. Amen. And that He would... The truth will win out. The truth will win out. So hang in there and stay strong. I pray that God surround you with love and with kind words and something good today. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, there'll be no sorrow there.